Coastal Cafe. I'm Aaron Barnett, your host. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington's College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. And today, as we kick off more sunny weather boating activities, I have as a very special guest Washington's Boating Law Administrator, Rob Sendak, who is an avid outdoors person and boater kayaker himself. Rob has a Master of Public Administration from the University of Washington's Evans School of Public Affairs and an undergraduate from DePaul University from Indiana. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Aaron, thanks so much for having me on here this morning and helping to highlight boating safety and Washington State Parks boating program on your show. So thank you very much.
You're most welcome. It's been a few years since we talked last, and it sounds like there's some really exciting projects and developments you'd like to share with us and our audience. Why don't we start off with what I understand is a new partnership with the Mariners? I'd love to hear about that.
Thanks, Aaron. And, you know, this is partnering with a professional sports team is a new thing in our world. And it took quite some time to put the pieces of that together. And we were really, when we thought about, you know, what our goal is, and what our mission is, which is to reduce accidents and fatalities out on our waterways, we thought about who's our target audience, who do we need to reach, and how do we do that in a mass form. And the idea of getting in front of the Seattle Mariners audience, you know, think about the millions of people that listen to the radio, that watch it on TV, that go to the games. We thought that there was a real good opportunity there. We thought about, once we started discussions with them, the thought came up, well, why haven't state parks and the Seattle Mariners, right? Mariners, why haven't they partnered before in this, two iconic Washington state entities? And so it was really a collaborative process. They were really great to work with and to put this together. And what does that partnership look like? Well, the last week of May was National Safe Boating Week. The last week of July is Paddle Safe Week in the state of Washington. So between those 2 weeks, for a couple of months, the Mariners are promoting safe boating in Washington. And specifically, what does that look like? There's a couple of games where at the ballpark, the first one was May 27th, actually, during National Safe Boating Week, where we actually had a kayak out in left field concourse, and we were getting folks to sign the kayak and to take the safe boating pledge. And so that's one way. And then, you know, signage was all over the ballpark. One of the neatest things, I don't know if you're baseball people or if your listeners are, but on the pitcher's mound in stencil was wear a life jacket. And so when the TV was on the pitch, think, you know, what is there, about 200 pitches every game, they saw wear a life jacket on the TV. And also behind home plate, it was, you know, State Parks Boating Program, wear a life jackets. And there was signage all over the ballpark and some promotional videos. The Mariner Moose, their mascot, was jumping around the field in a life vest. And they did some videos with us. And then also some radio commercials as well, which have been playing on 710 during the games, before and after, post and pregame. So if you think about all of the eyes and ears on those messages, we're hoping it has an impact. We're taking a little bit of a risk, and we're, you know, but at the end of the day, if there's one kid or one person that puts on a life vest and is saved because of that, we feel like the partnership is worth it. So we're real excited how this has turned out.
I would assume that your concern is heightened now that the weather's gotten better, and at the same time, the water is still cold. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience as we embark on the summer season here that's coming up?
Well, I mean, you just hit it there, Aaron. The water is cold. And I think I'm looking at the weather this weekend coming up. I'm here in Olympia. I know we're going to hit 90, I think, one or two days. And that's always my biggest fear at the beginning of the season like this, you know, summertime here officially, last couple of days, and people are out there in this 90 degree weather, and they're not thinking about cold water shock, and they're not thinking about what happens when they hit that cold water. You know, there was a ton of snowpack this season. It is still coming down in our rivers and our lakes and into the Sound, which you know that, you know, it's about the same temperature year round, and that temperature is very cold. And that is what really, you know, that's what hurts people. That's what kills people. You don't have very long in cold water before organs in your body start shutting down. And so if you don't have on a life vest, if you don't have on the proper clothing, if regardless of what type of recreational boating you're doing, you're in trouble, and you're going to be in trouble real quick. And so cold water shock is a real thing, and people just don't think about it very often.
I understand that hypothermia or exposure is actually the leading cause of death, not drowning itself, but exposure.
Yeah, that's right. Because after about 10 minutes in the water, and if you don't have on the proper stuff and you don't get rescued, that exposure, that hypothermia is going to get you each and every time. You know, I'm not Superman. I don't know, you know, superheroes are cool on the big screen watching movies, but that just doesn't happen when an accident happens. And I've heard this over and over and over again. Oh, I've been boating for 30 years. I don't need to wear a life vest, and I know these waters. I'm like, yeah, until the moment that you actually need it. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to lean into that message, just wear a life jacket. And one of the themes that we're really leaning into this year, you know, be a role model in your community, be a role model to your friends and family, wear that life jacket from the moment you get on the dock, before you get under your vessel, put that life vest on, be a role model, and be safe out on the water.
Yeah, good advice. A few other developments, like the No Child Left Inside program, that safety kill switch. Pick one of those two and give us an update on those.
Yeah, absolutely, Aaron. So No Child Left Inside grant program. Last year, we applied for a grant in the No Child Left Inside program, and we're fortunate enough to be awarded a grant, a $25,000 grant to help support our youth and adult paddle curriculum here at Washington State Parks. And that's a new thing for us. You know, we've got our boater safety card, which you've got to take, which is required by law. It's been going on 15, 20 years now, but there's no law that talks about what you need to do for paddle safety for a paddle curriculum. Well, when we look at our data and who's getting in trouble out on the water, it is increasingly paddlers that are losing their lives in Washington State. And so we have made a conscious decision to focus part of our resources and time in this paddle safe curriculum. And actually, I'm so excited. Tomorrow, I'll be going up to Lake Washington. We have our first event with 24 young people from downtown Seattle that are going to be out on the water for 3 hours, 4 hours, and on land. They're going to be learning best safety practices in a kayak, but also on land. We're going to be fitting life vests with them. We're going to be having a good time. And most of these young people are from underrepresented communities. My understanding is most of them have probably never been in a kayak before or ever had on a life vest. And so that's the kind of programming that we're leading into with this. And this is a new venture for us. I'm really excited. I'm getting in my car early tomorrow morning, driving up to Lake Washington to observe this and take some pictures and pass out many, many thanks. But we've got programs like this running all summer. Tomorrow happens to be the first one. We're going to be in Spokane. We're going to be in the Tri-Cities. We're going to be at different state parks running this programming. So if you've got a group of young people that out there that you think are interested in receiving a 3 or 4 hour intro to paddling, intro to kayaking, best safety practices at a state park or a different park with water access, would love to talk to you out there, to any of your listeners out there, Aaron. So have them reach out to me, and I'll provide my contact information later so you can give that to everybody.
Okay, that sounds great. And so as one of the best practices, how to get back into a kayak if you fall out, do you guys practice that, or is that?
That's honestly, like, if you can figure out how to get into a kayak without falling in the water first, I think you're gonna be in pretty good shape. I mean, I think the goal is to actually not get folks wet in these first intro sessions. And we've, with our help from our grant, we've purchased some, I think some basic sit on top, kayaks, just to get some experience of some young people out in the water. It's going to help that, you know, tomorrow's supposed to be at about 80 some degrees, in Seattle. So we're excited about that.
Oh, that's great. So what can you tell us about the new safety kill switch regulations?
Yeah, so this law is about a year old. It happened in 2021, and it actually applies to covered recreational vessels, which means any motorized boat with, you know, 3 or more horsepower that's 26 feet or less. And they've got to have an engine cutoff switch. Well, what is an engine cutoff switch? It's usually a coiled bungee cord lanyard, right? That's clipped onto the operator's person or the PFD that the operator is wearing or their clothing. And this is all about safety. Think about that. Think about those propellers that are running in those motors behind your vessel. The engine cutoff switch, it stops all of that. So if you were to be thrown from the vessel, or you know, something happened where you can't see everybody in the water when you're at the helm all the time. And so this is a safety mechanism. And this had been boiling up for many years. They've been talking about doing this. And so I know, you know, the U.S. Coast Guard's real excited about this. And it isn't codified in state law yet. They're asking that we wait for a year or two because the language sometimes gets massaged a little bit on this. But it is currently state law that you've got that engine cutoff switch. And I'll also mention there was, federal law, not state law yet, but federal law for the engine cutoff switch. And I'll also mention 2 years prior to this, there was another law passed that required manufacturers to install emergency cutoff switches in their vessels that they're making. So if you have a vessel that's, you know, more than basically 5 years old, it's not going to have, it probably won't have one on there. If you buy a new vessel, which we can also talk about that, new vessel purchases the last couple of years have been out of this world. It'll have that on there. And so that's just something that we're helping to promote and make sure folks are educated on that little piece.
Well, if anybody's curious, you can go to YouTube and you can find videos on that problem all over the place of people getting thrown out of the boat by turning too fast and too sharp, and the video of the boat circling and going every other which way. So, that's interesting. Now, The Paddle Safe program or project, is that related to the No Child Left Inside thing you were just talking about, or is that something that we can expand on?
You know, I think we can expand on it a little bit, and I appreciate that question, actually, Aaron, because we were going to do this Paddle Safe curriculum regardless of what happened with the No Child Left Inside program. And the Paddle Safe curriculum, we went to NASBLA, National Association of State Boating Law Administrators, to ANSI, American Standards National Institute. I think I got those words right. We went to the U.S. Coast Guard. We went to paddle educators, National Paddle Educator, American Canoe Association. And so we've been compiling, you know, best paddle education practices. And we're going to follow these national standards. And so, you know, the No Child Left Inside grant is a great way for us to help, you know, promote young people getting into watercraft and learning best safety practices with paddling. And it's a great program. And we're honored to be a part of it. But we are launching, you know, our paddle curriculum. And this is something that we are not, you know, we're not turning back and going backwards. This is not a one-off. We're not going to do it for 1 year. This isn't a pilot for us, even though tomorrow's day one. This is something that we are going to be leaning into for the foreseeable future. When you think about participation rates in the state of Washington. What is there? 7.7 million people in the state, and a Recreation Conservation Office SCORP report from a few years back said almost one in four people in the state participate in some kind of paddle sport activity. You think when the participation rates in day use kayaking and in stand up paddle boarding, those are the two that are increasing very high. And so we believe that leaning into educating communities on best safety practices in paddling, we think that's where we need to be as a program. We're not going to stop doing our motorized boater card. That is law. We're going to continue down that path with those cards, but we're also adding this now into the mix. And again, it's not law, but we just really encourage folks to go to boatsafewa.org. That's boatsafewa.org. And you can take the Safe Boating Pledge. You can find out all this information about paddle safety, about the boater card that I was talking about, and everything else that our program does. So we're real excited about this new thing. In fact, it was mentioned to me just yesterday that they feel like where our program is now is where it was a couple of years before the motorized boater card became law, and how groups were starting to come together around paddle education safety and thinking about how best to educate communities in paddling. And as I think you know, Aaron, there's been a bunch of legislative proposals the last couple of years around boater safety education and life jacket wear. That's been nothing has made it through both chambers yet, the House and the Senate. But there's been a number of proposals kind of dancing around the marble hallways down the hill from where I am right now, actually.
If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. I'm Aaron Barnett, today's host of Coastal Cafe, and we're speaking with Washington's Boating Law Administrator, Rob Sendak. So, Rob, when we were talking earlier, you had a list of some things you really wanted to point out, and I think I've covered a few of them. What else is on your list of things to update us on? I know I missed one or two.
Absolutely, Aaron. And one of those things, we've got a new grant opportunity. As I think you know, we approve marine law enforcement programs in the state, and there are 49 approved programs. Think county jurisdictions and city jurisdictions. And Matt Stowers, who works with me on the boating program, he's our marine law enforcement coordinator, and we were brainstorming. We're like, Matt, what's the one of the best things that we could do long term to support our law enforcement agencies and help them with our shared mission, right? Keeping people safe out on the waterways. And we brought up a list of all of the vessels that law enforcement agencies use in the state. We keep those lists. We have got a list. So, you know, all the boats that, Kitsap County has, King County has, that, the city of Bremerton has, mm-hmm. right, out on the water. And we started looking at how old those vessels are. And we're like, holy cow, we started seeing 1965, 1975. I mean, some of these boats are older than me that they're out on the waterway, right? And so I'm just like, what if we created a grant opportunity where law enforcement agencies could apply a need-based grant to replace a patrol vessel? And so this started about a year ago, and we launched the grant program about 2 months ago. The due date to turn these applications in is actually a week from today, June 30th. And this is an opportunity for any marine law enforcement agency to send us in an application and apply for funding up to $150,000 to purchase a new patrol vessel. We have a pot of funds, and that pot of funds is $600,000. And we're going to get these applications. We've assembled a technical advisory group to read through the applications and score them and evaluate them and rank them. And then we're going to start passing out funding for new patrol vessels. And so that is a new thing. We've never done it like this before. You know, we support Marine law enforcement agencies with a small federal assistant grants on an annual basis, as long as they get approved. But this is a new thing. Then this is going to be on top of that federal support. And so we're just real excited to be able to, you know, support our Marine law enforcement officers, who are the ones, if you're in trouble, who are going to be the first ones there, probably to come help pull you out of the water. And so we're real honored to be able to, you know, support them with this opportunity. And we just think long-term sustainable, you know, in our mission, we feel this is the right thing that we should be doing.
So what sort of a long-term timeline do you see for this grant program?
Well, this is a one-time grant program. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if it's successful and if there's enough applications and we're able to distribute the funds, which at this point, we've received some applications and I think we're looking pretty good. If we need to do this every couple of years and as a one-off, I think the potential is there to do that. Interestingly enough, where some of this money basically came from is, think about COVID the last couple of years. Well, we've been actually able to bank some extra funds from our grant award from the U.S. Coast Guard. We haven't been doing a whole lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. We haven't been doing a whole lot of face-to-face that we've been able to do in the past. And you and I were talking before we started the show about how, you know, we're shifting in our programming and we're really trying to think outside of the box. This is one of those ways we were able to kind of bank a little bit of extra dollars in our grant funding from the Coast Guard. And we think this is actually a really impactful way to spend it.
So I have one more question about this. I find this interesting. So if a law enforcement agency applied for a grant, are they limited to getting a new boat, or can this help pay for improvements on an old boat, refurbishment, new motors, equipment, whatever?
Great question. The idea was that it's a vessel replacement. Okay. And so if they've got an older vessel out there that they know, and we know how old they are because we were looking at them, and honestly, most of them out there are like 30 years old or more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the life of vessels, which get used as much and get beat up like those patrol vessels do, you know, 30 years, 35 years is a pretty good timeline. Yeah. But the needs in Kitsap County are different than the needs, say, in Lincoln County or Grant County. Right. And so maybe that patrol vessel in Kitsap is an ocean going, you know, 30 footer, where maybe it's a, you know, some other kind of smaller watercraft that is more accessible in the Columbia or in the rivers in Grant County. And so, you know, just because it's a new patrol vessel doesn't mean it has to be $150,000 either. I think there's different needs in different parts of the state. And we're seeing that in the applications.
Oh, that's great. So as we're getting to the, we're kind of approaching the close of the show here, and I wanted to ask you about the Clean Vessel Act, which is an interesting little arm of the Washington State Boating Program. I think there's some news you wanted to share with us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Aaron. The Clean Vessel Act grant program, which is administered by Catherine Bukalski-Smith, our program manager. She's been doing a great job. And the awards came out on an annual basis. And for folks that don't know, this is a program designed to remove recreational boater sewage out of our waterways. And so this falls right in line with what's happening out there in the Puget Sound and in our other waterways right now. And so the awards, we administer funding for vessel sewage pump outs or mobile pump out vessels, or in this case, what I want to talk about, a floating restroom. And we're very excited because State Parks, the Southwest region, applied for a grant for the Clean Vessel Act grant program for a floating restroom off of Cutts Island State Park near Kopachuk State Park down in the South Sound. And they were awarded a large grant to build this floating restroom. And, you know, one of the needs when they turned in their application was that, you know, kayakers, small watercraft were coming up on shore and they were actually, people were defecating and going to the bathroom on the shoreline just because there was no place to, there was no place to go. And so now, and I think it's going to be, from what I understand, 2024. So it's going to just take right under 2 years so that it'll be ready to go, we hope, by the 2024 season. And it's going to be a floating restroom out there. Kayakers will be able to pull up. Boats, you know, will be able to pull up and tie off and jump in and go to this floating restroom right off of Cutts Island. And so we also feel like there is a need when we look at a need for the Clean Vessel Act grant for the, where these pump outs and restrooms go. We think this could be something that gets replicated in other areas. We feel like there's a geographic need in other areas, not only in the South Sound, but in the North Sound, to have these floating restrooms. So we're very excited to partner with our friends at in our agency that applied for this grant, which we think is great, and to see where this can go in future years. We looked at what California and Oregon doing. They've got these floating restrooms down there, and we think it's going to be something really, really impactful here in the Puget Sound area specifically.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, I also understand that State Park CVA program has partnered with Pierce County during boating season to provide free pump outs in the South Sound.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Aaron. A big part of the partnership, why that floating restroom is going to work also, is because Pierce County has stepped up. We can't do this without partnerships, and they've acquired a couple of mobile pump out boats. And so they're going to be all over the place out there in the South Sound, and we've partnered with them, or the Parks Southwest Region has partnered with them, and they're going to actually be servicing this floating restroom, which is coming up in 2024. And they've got some mobile pump outs, which are on the water working right now. So we're proud of our partnership with Pierce County.
Well, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Rob. This has been very enlightening. This is Aaron Barnett, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education to support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Ku Ich for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. Thank you for listening and have a great day.